Line recording now, okay.
Okay, we have quorum. The alternates have come forward and are signing in. Will everyone accept the alternates? Please take your seats. I just want to mention that although Dave Fields is on vacation, he has given us permission to use the Dave Fields Lecture Hall. Because of Dave's absence, I would like to appoint as temporary parliamentarian Ken Lord. Ken? Okay, that having been said, let's go to the item number one on the agenda, the approval of the agenda. Okay, second, we have it. All in favor? Opposed? None? Abstentions? None? Okay, that passes. Item number two is the approval of the Academic Senate meeting minutes from September 14th. Amendments, deletions, changes? Okay. Motion, okay, to accept them. Second. And all in favor? Opposed? None? Abstentions? None? Okay, that's unanimous then. Let's go on to item number three. Today we're going to start with our guest speaker, and I want to introduce Kristen Hart, the new chief librarian. And I can tell you, this is a very important position, because guess who did it for 2 years? There you go. So I'd like to bring up Kristen Hart.
Thanks, Manny. Manny seems much more relaxed and happier these days. So, my name's Kristen. I'm the new chief librarian. I've met a lot of you guys because I'm going around meeting a lot of people right now. A lot of people have expressed their condolences to me just now about, you know, some of the quirks of working within CUNY, but I come to you from SUNY, so I've experienced a lot of those same issues and difficulties of getting things done, so I'm not fazed by any of that stuff. My orientation in, you know, taking over this library right now is I want to help us reorient ourselves in the library so we can take advantage of some really exciting emerging trends in libraries, like scholarly communication, which is, you know, pressing for open access and public scholarship for the public good, which a lot of us are already doing, but we want to support that better. Open educational resources and open pedagogy, like libraries are positioned to really disrupt the textbook market and make college a lot more affordable and effective for students that way. Digital scholarship and other digital initiatives, which so many faculty are already doing in their research. Everywhere I look, I was just at the museum, killing a few minutes before coming here, and some of those the design faculty exhibit is really amazing, and the multimedia stuff that our faculty is doing, I'm so excited about. And also our archives and special collections, I really want to get a handle on those. I think it's an amazing treasure and has a huge amount of pedagogical value for the campus and really for humanity. I want to find ways to put what we have out there where people can access it and create, you know, explore it and find the new value. You know, people are finding amazing treasures in archives all over the world because we're coming in and digitizing and going through them again, and that's what we're finding treasures. I know we have a lot of treasures too, so I'm really looking forward to that. I just want to help us reallocate our resources more effectively so we can play a really creative role in supporting that really amazing faculty and student scholarship that's happening here at Queens College. And I'm just hoping we can create the most open and welcoming environment that we possibly can for students. And, you know, to do that, we have to really start assessing what we're doing, what's working, and really start asking our students and asking our users what's working, what's not working. We haven't really done that too much, so we're going to start doing that and asking you guys. So we really appreciate your feedback as we sort of take a look at what we're doing and what we can be doing and maybe what we shouldn't be doing quite so much of. That's my spiel. I don't know if you guys have any questions, concerns, or burning complaints about the library that you'd like to share. No one. Okay. I'm going to cut all of the periodicals. Effective tomorrow. Since you guys didn't speak up, and we'll use the money for something else. Anyway, I got a question. Yay.
It's not a question, just welcome.
Thank you.
Kristen, after 2 years of me, I just wore them down, so that's what happened. Do we have any administrative reports? Memorials? Okay, then that brings us to announcements.
Sorry, put my hand on the keyboard. So I wanted to discuss two items with you today. The first is that we are going to be presenting some new academic excellence fees to CUNY. These are fees that are placed on certain graduate programs, and the revenue from those fees is invested back into the graduate programs to support additional services. And we have a two-phase process for those. One is that we have a committee of chairs that reviews the proposals. And then the second is that we bring it to this body. There's not a vote, but to bring it to a body that contains students and have a discussion and entertain any questions or concerns. So just wanted to quickly go through the fees that we are proposing and what the plans are for use of those fees. So the first is in the Master's in Applied Behavioral Analysis. They're proposing a fee of $500 a term in fall and spring semesters for full-time students, $250 for part-time students in the fall and spring, and they do encourage students to go year-round, and then it would be $250 each summer session. The Master's in Applied Behavioral Analysis is recognized by the Behavioral Analysis Certification Board. They're working on having it be licensure approved, so the students would come out licensed to the new state license in behavioral analysis. It is the only one in CUNY, takes fewer than 50% of the applicants for matriculation, has some really unique qualities. What they will be using this to do is to support two things: online teaching instruction to meet the needs of a changing student population, and secondly, field work experience opportunities for students enrolled in the programs. It's very important for these students to have placements where they, supervised placements where they can learn their discipline, and it will also maintain approval of the coursework by the Behavior Analysis Certification Board and make sure we have licensure approved status. So that is the first one. The rest of these, there are a variety of programs in educational and community programs. For school psychology, $25 per graduate credit, either for full or part-time students. They intend to use this for assessment and intervention materials, providing teaching assistance to assist in teaching of the classes, honoraria to bring conference and workshop speakers in, support for faculty student research teams, allowing students to present at conferences, and again, as with the first, developing and maintaining practicum and internship field sites. And this is an excellent program. It has, in particular, focuses that are available in bilingual and multicultural extensions and can provide students with that, the ability to come out and function and be certified to work in those environments. The school psychology programs are eligible for national certification upon passage of the practice exam in school psychology, and to go on to, they're also prepared to go on to doctoral programs as necessary. The next would be in special education, both Master's in Science and Education, Master's of Art and Teaching, and Postmaster's Advanced Certificates. Again, $25 of credit to support assessment and much the same sorts of things in this case. Additionally, directed recruitment of local educational agencies for placement so that candidates' access to diverse and field-based learning opportunities throughout the metropolitan area are available. And the next would be our graduate programs in education leadership, which lead to both school building leader and school district leader. This one's $20 a graduate credit. It'll support program membership in the University Council for Education Administration, which opens up opportunities for a lot for the grad students, preparation for the licensing exam, orientations for new students, symposia, travel and honoraria to bring both visiting academics and practitioners in, opportunities for students to present at conferences, and all of those. So the fees, again, these academic excellence fees are invested directly back into the program to support these kinds of opportunities. And then in counselor education, both school counseling and mental health counseling, $10 a graduate credit. And again, it will be used for supporting fieldwork training, supporting licensure, and also developing and enhancing online teaching instruction, again, to better serve a changing student population. And finally, I think I did all of them. So any questions about those? I think in terms of these kinds of programs which have needs both to support students' fieldwork placements, there are opportunities to do research with faculty, and of course to become certified and or licensed as appropriate is very important, and this will enhance our ability to do so. All of these are very competitive programs, and I feel that the fees are definitely warranted, and welcome any questions. Thank you. The second item I wanted to, this is for discussion and will come to the Senate for some decisions, and that is that, as I think most of you know by now, CUNY has determined that for undergraduate grades, they're adopting a university-wide grading deadline of 72 hours, 3 business days after the last day of finals. They have not ruled on graduate programs. And before that, CUNY did not have any policy about grading deadlines, which left the colleges free to set whatever grading deadlines they chose. Ours, I have to tell you, after having done a survey, were definitely among the longer ones in CUNY. For us, it was 2 weeks after the end of winter classes and 1 week after the end of spring classes. But once CUNY has adopted the policy, then for undergraduate grading, we are bound by that policy. And it hasn't yet, but it will be appearing in the Chancellor's University Report. That means that the Senate does need to change its policy on grade deadlines, and I think it's a good opportunity to take a look at the graduate deadlines. I think there's good persuasive evidence that you may need a little longer for graduate programs. On the other hand, I can tell you that the deadline in the fall, the 2 weeks after the end of finals, did cause some problems, for example, with teacher certification because the grades weren't turned in on time, and I think a discussion would be warranted before we decide what we would want to do with graduate programs. So that would come to the Senate for discussion and be presented to a later Senate for approval. In the meantime, I know there's some, and I think justifiable, upset that this change came after the beginning of the semester when people had already made their plans about assignments and so forth. So two things. One is that we will make it a week after exams end, sort of split the difference here on campus. Secondly, I will entertain any individual requests for waivers depending on what classes the faculty members teaching, when the exams are, when assignments are due, and so forth. So, questions?
So it used to be 2 weeks for undergraduate.
Can I ask everyone if they have questions, go to the mic
because these discussions are being recorded, and if you speak from here, we can't hear your question and the discussion. So please go to the mic.
I am here at the mic. Okay. So it used to be 2 weeks for undergrad courses.
There was a common deadline for undergraduate and graduate. It was for the fall semester, it was 2 weeks after the end of final exams. In the spring, it was 1 week after the end of final exams.
For both graduate and undergraduate. So now, from on high, has come a ruling that it should be 3 days.
3 business days, yes.
For undergraduate. And grad, or just undergrad?
No, graduate, we are free to set our own ruling.
Okay.
And I think that we should have a discussion about, particularly about the fall term, where I think 2 weeks was a little long.
I think three days is a little short. What bothers me is that Central CUNY takes it upon themselves to come down with this ruling from on high. Did they consult with any leaders, such as provosts and presidents of undergraduate campuses, for their input? Did they bother to ask academic senates, faculty senates from the individual colleges for their input on this change?
I know that there was discussion last spring. I know they also surveyed the campuses. The norm, frankly, was about 48 to 72 hours at most CUNY campuses. As I say, we were one of the outliers.
I don't remember this academic senate discussing this change.
It was not brought to the academic senate.
Could I ask quickly, am I understand correctly, the college has no choice about this matter?
That's correct.
Okay. Was there any consideration given to how this affects writing goals at Queens College or any of the colleges? I mean, it seems to me we've put a lot of emphasis on trying to gear up the writing programs and the writing, the amount of time that we devote and to writing assignments. I mean, I know for me personally, I have 125 students. At final exams, they all take written essay exams in class, so that's 250 essay questions to grade. I also have 15 of those students who are seminar students who produce roughly 15 page research papers. Sometimes my final exams have been as late as the 22nd or the 23rd. I mean, I don't see how I can possibly continue to assign written final exams and meet this, as well as having a family and observing the holidays. So
I think that in future semesters, we're going to need to look at I'm looking at the registrar who may kill me, but to look at when we schedule. We may have to play around more with the scheduling of exams. I can also see large classes may cause an issue. For this semester, that's why I'm saying I'll entertain waivers and we'll give a little extra time because I do recognize we've got the schedule set now. You can't do much about it once the semester's underway.
I don't know what I would do in the future. I mean, I just don't see. I was at Hunter briefly, so I understand that we may be the outlier. I don't understand what problem is being addressed here other than standardization.
Not just standardization. There were actually problems with the dates that we submitted our grades in the fall. It caused problems for students, for teacher certification, other problems where the grades were not available in time for import. So there actually were concerns that were being addressed. It's not just standardizing things.
Well, as I was saying, I was at Hunter under this where they had the 72 hours, and it was not sustainable. I mean, I'm just saying I will have to drop a writing assignment. I've already dropped one as my courses have enrolled up to 55 people per course without any teaching assistance. So I've already dropped one. And it just seems to me it's working against what the college goal is with regard to writing. And I don't see how, I mean, maybe there are particular programs and things where it is necessary, but I don't see how the trade-off is worthwhile. And I really don't know, you know, how to reconcile what I want to do in terms of writing. I don't want to give Scantron exams in my class, and I don't think it does a service to the students. I don't think it can even begin to capture the kind of things I do in class. And somehow I think there needs to be some serious discussion and thought to how this is undermining the goals we have in terms of writing.
I also wanted to register the discontent of my department. I'm in linguistics and communication disorders, and we have people in our department training English teachers, so their assessments are all writing, and they were up in arms about a three-day turnaround. They can't do it, they said, and it seems like a big mistake. I'm curious if there's any other university in the country that has a three-day requirement for...
It's very common. I mean, I have to say the first teaching job I ever had was 24 hours, which I agree was way too short, but 72 hours is not uncommon.
Yeah, I don't know. They said that they won't be able to do it, though.
And so but bear in mind, if your exams are towards the beginning, you have quite a bit longer. It's really for those your exams are on the last couple of days. Or I have also heard from faculty who, because they set their syllabi up before this was announced, had writing assignments due late, and then it'll have to be moved up.
But wasn't it 3 days from the exam?
No, it is 3 days from the end of finals.
Ah, okay. They were told it was 3 days from the exam.
No.
Okay, so maybe that's better. Thanks.
I'm Stephen Grover, philosophy. Sorry, my voice is not in very good shape today. So when new adjuncts come or we take on and they ask whether they're required to give a final exam, I always tell them, well, you can replace the final exam with an assignment, you know, other than the final exam, but you may not make that assignment due before the end of finals week, because that assignment is supposed to substitute for the final exam. And I think it's a betrayal of the principle of 15 weeks if we make that final requirement, whether it's an exam or whether it's a paper, due earlier. And yet I think that people will, just as this will push final exams into the 14th week, something that we continually struggle against, it's going to push all the due dates for these requirements into the 14th week or into the 13th week and make a real nonsense of the last week or two of the semester. And I think that's the fundamental way in which students will lose out, is that it will effectively shorten the semester. It will lead to much less fair and accurate grading, obviously. I mean, I have colleagues who grade more than 100 papers at the end of each semester, and I've no doubt that will lead to much less accurate and fair grading. And it also removes the opportunity which we have currently, especially in the fall semester, to allow students to revise and resubmit with some changes made, even as late as New Year's Day or something, which is something that we standardly do, again, partly as the enterprise of trying to improve their writing. So it seems, you know, really to work against almost everything that we've been trying to do, especially in terms of writing, but also in terms of maintaining serious academic standards in this place. It just seems foolish. I can't believe the Senate will pass it either, so I would think that the policy will just remain as it is.
The CUNY policy, as I am told, is the governing policy.
Yep. Alan Ludman, delegate at large, resident of environmental sciences. Several of us have written to the CUNY registrar, and we all got the same letter back. It's saying it's for the good of the students, and our response to that was, academically, everything we've just heard, in terms of standards, it's not good for the students. I suspect, and I predicted, and we'll see what happens, people will submit grades and there will be the letter I. There will be a pile of incomplete grades. I also suspect that some people are going to be giving their final exams during the last day of class, which is not supposed to happen, but which happens anyway, and I think we're going to see a rash of it. And I agree with everybody who's spoken, it's not for the good of our students.
Hey, Terry Girl, alternate for SEYS. I just want a clarification. According to the CUNY calendar, the last day of finals is December 20th, which is a Wednesday. And I understand that it's three business days, which would push it to, so we would have Thursday, Friday, Monday's the 25th, which is a holiday. So would that make the grades due on the 26th of December?
Yep.
And that's kind of unreasonable, especially if you're observing a holiday. And the second comment I have is that I understand that in many colleges across the country that 72 hours is the norm. However, most colleges don't go nearly as late as we do. Most end early December. First, second week of December, and that's quite a bit of a difference if finals are over December 8th as opposed to December 20th. So I would just like to register that comment. Thank you.
Jim Moore, Anthropology. So is Queens an outlier then in that it's our students who are have their certifications processed late? We're the long 2-week turn in grades. I'm wondering that the other colleges that do have 72 hours do not have problems in certifying students.
All I know about is our campus because,
yes,
in advance of this, I was somewhat concerned about the 2-week. Not to be honest, the 1-week, but the 2-week because I had been given to understand that it was causing some issues. I have not spoken to other campuses about this and about the certification issue.
Oh, just one question then. So could we have assurance that there will be an assessment that this solves the problem?
I would think we should, yes.
Okay, so we will ask for that? Will it be reported? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go back to the agenda. Any further announcements? Come to the mic, please. I hope it's a happy face announcement.
So I'm with participatory budgeting on campus. We aim for, well, to make it so that normal citizens are able to have a say in governing their own communities. So like when a citizen is thinking, like, why is power so often held by like these manipulative jerks? And like, is that normal? Is that normal? Why does it seem like I don't really have a way to enter the political game without like selling my soul and, you know, breaking all my principles? What's up with that? And why does it seem like I'm not informed about important decisions that affect me and affect my life? Why does it seem like people are actually like actively trying to hide information from me? Or like, why do the decisions in my community seem, you know, sort of flawed, a little unreasonable sometimes? And why wasn't I, you know, consulted or informed about such decisions? Because, you know, maybe if we were consulted, the decisions would have been a little bit better. But so, we're a group that tries to make it so that we try to set a context so that normal citizens are able to make these decisions and be informed and try to make positive change in their communities without selling their souls, without all this nonsense. We have a meeting next Wednesday in Razorin 308 at Free Hour. You know, there are a lot of professors here, and if you're willing, I could, you know, send members of my team to visit your classroom, give a little bit of a motivating speech to entice your students to come to that, so that we could get more citizens, you know, active in this community, a little more engaged. You can speak to me after, you know, the end of this Senate. Thank you.
Any further announcements?
I'm Nancy Fosberg from the library. I wanted to announce two events that we're having later this month for Open Access Week. So the first one is on October 25th, Wednesday, in the evening, 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, and it's an Open Education Resources Workshop. So we're going to have Ann Fidler from CUNY Central, who's the Open Education Librarian of CUNY, and we're going to have Jean Amaral from BMCC here, and they can help you learn how to find, adapt, and use open educational resources and other kinds of resources that you have available in your classes. This is really important because it can help students save money by not having to purchase all these expensive textbooks. So you'll be seeing an announcement on that come out through the mailer. But I can tell you now it's on October 25th, 4 o'clock in the library. The following day, there will be another workshop, which I will lead, October 26th, 12:15 to 1:30, about boosting your scholarly profile. So I'm going to teach you how to curate your online presence, make your works available, and in general, make it easier for people to find, read, and cite your work. So I hope to see you there. Tell your colleagues. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, no further announcements. Let's go to item, special motion, item 4A. Before I go there, will anyone who just came in please come down and sign up? Okay. The next item is special motion, executive committee, election of a secretary. The only people that are eligible for this would be faculty who are currently on the executive committee or students that are currently student senators. And this has to be done from the floor, so I call for any nominations from the floor.
Yes, I'd like to nominate Maxwell Atholtz.
Okay. Any further nominations from the floor? I'll move other blackboards. A-T-H-O-L-Z, Atholtz. Any further nominations? So Maxwell is running as a student senator for the position of executive committee secretary. No further nominations? Okay, then I'll direct the secretary to cast one vote for Maxwell. Very good. Next item on the agenda, committee reports. First one is the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee, minutes dated September 14th.
I'd like to move the minutes of the September 14th Undergraduate Curriculum Committee and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections to unanimous consent? None. Okay, motion passes. Next item, the Graduate Curriculum Committee minutes, September 13th.
My name is Bill McClure. I'm the Interim Associate Provost. I'd like to move the minutes of the Graduate Curriculum Committee dated September 13th, 2017. And I ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections to unanimous consent? All right, seeing none, motion passes. Item 5C, nominating committee.
The Senate Nominating Committee asks for your unanimous approval of the slate of names for the Academic Senate committees.
Any objections again to unanimous consent? Okay, seeing none, the nominating committee minutes are approved. Old business, nominations to the nominating committee. We have two openings for faculty, one for math and natural science, the other for social science. Again, this has to be done from the floor. Are there any nominations for either position? Okay, seeing none, then we will either decide this at the executive committee or bring it up to the next Senate meeting. Last item of business is new business, and it's the nominations to the nominating committee. This one is for students at large.
Hi, I'd like to nominate Karan Deep Singh for students at large.
Could you repeat the name again?
Karan Deep Singh. Should I spell it?
Okay. Before we write it on the blackboard, let me ask you, are there any further nominations for the students at large position on the nominating committee? Okay, seeing none, then your nominee is elected by casting one vote by the secretary. Thank you very much. That's it for new business. Excellent. I hear all in favor, aye. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
The Ken Lord Electro.
Yeah, same. Same.
Thank you. Change the name of the lecture hall to the Ken Lord Lecture Hall. He did such a great job. Now he doesn't get it. Betsy, I just want to mention
Oh. I got it.